Welcome to the Friday, May 18th, 2012 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and I'm today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Roger Grimes of InfoWorld published a thought-provoking article earlier this week suggesting that firewalls are actually no longer providing much use. These are, of course, fighting words for everybody doing InfoSec for the last few years, so I couldn't help it and published a little rebuttal. I do actually think that it is a good and necessary idea to challenge old truths like this from time to time. As far as firewalls are concerned, I think the issue is not as much whether or not they are providing a valid feature at this day and age, but if we are using them the right way to actually address current problems. The two issues I keep running into is that firewalls are not configured to inspect outbound traffic and that nobody is watching the logs. Just if you're looking over this week alone, we had two sort of events that came down to someone watching the firewall logs, configuring the firewall correctly, and, well, knowing what to do with these firewall logs. So thanks, Roger, for the inspiration and the thoughtful presentation of this article. Next, we have an idea that looks like an old idea at first, but actually this time I think has a significant new twist to it. From time to time, I see proposals for a secure, isolated internet. Hey, let's have an internet for banks only. How are customers going to connect to their banks? So I don't think much of these proposals usually, because in part the value of the internet is the connectivity to everybody. A secure internet would make sense for a small group of people, but in the end it would never be as isolated as people think it should be, as people do require connectivity to the rest of the world. There are plenty of failed air gap examples out there. This new proposal is different in that it proposes the use of a new top-level domain name, .secure, to identify hosts that comply with more stringent security requirements. These hosts would still be connected to all the other bad sites, but similar to HTTPS sites, customers would have some assurance that their data is better protected if they're dealing with a .secure site. In particular, this proposal requires sites to include secure features like DNSSEC, a requirement to offer all websites via HTTPS, and sign all outbound mail headers with DKIM. We will see where this will go. One of the challenges I see is if users will actually care to make it worthwhile for corporations to sign up. I don't expect a .secure domain to be cheap, given that in order for this to work, there probably needs to be some form of auditing in place to ensure that all hosts using these domain names are actually compliant. This new .secure top-level domain may also just turn into a big target for everybody. Hey, let's hack .secure sites. That's way more cool than hacking like yet another .info or .biz site. So let's see where this goes. The effort appears to have sufficient funding in place, so there is a chance that this will actually go somewhere. And then we talked a couple times about Russian forensics company Elcomsoft. The company made a name for itself by developing innovative decryption and password brute forcing tools to gain access to encrypted files for forensics analysis. Its latest tool goes a little bit a different route than its other tools. It's targeting Apple iOS devices. The tool will no longer attempt to decrypt files retrieved from device or, for example, an iTunes backup that someone may have made of the device. Instead, the tool doesn't need access to the device at all. knowing a user's Apple ID and password, the tool will connect to Apple's iCloud and download any backups the user may have made to iCloud. Backups are not encrypted when sent to iCloud and as a result can be retrieved and read in some cases easier than encrypted backup files left on a system the device was connected to. Of course, investigators would still need to gain knowledge of the target's Apple ID and password. Skimming the press release from Elcomsoft, and I include a link in the show notes, I also don't find a legal side of data retrieval addressed. So law enforcement, for example, they probably may be able to obtain a warrant to get data directly from Apple. The tool doesn't appear to do brute forcing against iCloud, and I don't think that would be legal in whatever way you're trying to justify that. And if you wonder what happens if you gain access to someone else's account illegally, ask Gareth Krosky of Avonclose in England. He gained access to a US citizen's Facebook and email account after the FBI investigated and notified Scotland Yard. Gareth was arrested and is now convicted to 1 year of jail time. Well, anyway, this is it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again on Monday. Bye.